it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this week's program. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. Recently, we spoke to Graham Innes about the merger between Blind Citizens Australia and Blind Citizens New South Wales. At the special general meeting of BCNSW on Saturday, the 2nd of December, the resolutions enabling the merger to take place were passed. I'm joined today by Graham and John Simpson, the president of Blind Citizens Australia. Graham, I wonder if you could start by telling us, what does this mean for BCNSW?
The management committee has been delegated with the task of winding up the organisation and moving any excess funds and assets from the organisation to Blind Citizens Australia. So effectively, those two steps mean that the two organisations have merged or will merge, and we do it in an organised way so that we can move the employees of BCNSW over to BCA, we can move the rental arrangements that BCNSW has over to BCA, we can move funds over, and we can make sure that any donations or bequests that come to BCNSW in the future remain within BCA. And the terms of the Memorandum of Understanding that two organisations signed in February of this year say that the funds from BCNSW will be spent by BCA, but in New South Wales and the ACT. So, and they set out various requirements about maintaining representation on the board, maintaining an office presence, and moving the staff over at the same benefits. So there's a whole lot of protections in there, but the members of Blind Citizens New South Wales overwhelmingly decided that that was the action that they wanted to take yesterday, and so I'm tasked with leading the management committee to put that into effect.
Were there any issues that were brought up as being potential negatives to this merger?
I've been talking a lot to the members in the last few months, and particularly, but since we started this process, really, and people have had concerns, which in the main I and the committee and the President's Committee, which John and I have led between the two organisations, have managed to allay those concerns, and there were no issues at all raised at the meeting. Two people chose to vote against the resolution, and you know, that's entirely appropriate and their democratic right. And both John and I at the meeting recognised that if there were concerns, John or I or Emma or Crystal, the executive officer of Blind Citizens New South Wales, would like to hear about those, because we're determined to make this a merger which just brings greater benefits to members of BCA in New South Wales and the ACT. And if anyone is concerned that that's not happening, then I want to hear about it, because I'm sure John and I will be very committed to fix that.
John, I'm eager to find out, apart from the obvious fact that it means that Blind Citizens Australia will now have a formal office based in Sydney, what do you see as being some of the other benefits to the organisation of incorporating Blind Citizens New South Wales into BCA?
I think one of the most important benefits, Vaughan, is that we speak with one voice. I think inevitably in this area, there's a bit of a tendency for people to try and separate or divide organisations, because that diminishes our importance and our relevance. This is a very clear message to governments, to the service provision providers in New South Wales and the general community, that there is a solidarity among people who are blind or vision impaired in New South Wales, and we can build on that strength in terms of the advocacy that that we perform. It's a very interesting environment because, of course, so much of what we need to advocate on is at a state level, you know, issues like public transport and other state government level services. And while there are similarities from state to state, there is a need to be quite specific in dealing with the bureaucracies and the politicians in particular states. So this gives us a greater strength to address that, but also adds to our national strength in dealing with issues that have a national relevance.
So, John, I assume that the original intention to maintain the office and the staffing is still going ahead?
Yes, there's a commitment which was spelled out in the original memorandum of understanding and has been reconfirmed since, that we'll maintain the same staffing strength in the New South Wales office. But more than that, Vaughan, we've already moved to locate a project officer who's working on a project that crosses between New South Wales and Victoria, and Sally Warish is the project officer concerned, and she's based in the New South Wales office. So even prior to the formalities of yesterday, we've started to use that resource to build our strength. BCA is very much these days working on a decentralised model, and in fact we have similar numbers of staff in each of Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne now. So this is very much part of that strategy.
Is there going to come a time, do you think, when we will have formal offices, particularly in those three states, but also perhaps in Adelaide and Perth?
We would certainly hope so, Vaughan. That depends on us attracting sustainable funding at a state level to do that. But with the opportunities that are available through the NDIS and their community capacity building activities, we're hopeful that we can do that, but it will take some time.
Graham, perhaps you could give us an idea of the timeline for the merger between the two organisations.
Well, Vaughan, we've got to talk to our lawyers now and make sure that we get the process absolutely right. And Darren Fittler, who's a member of BCA but also a partner in Gilbert and Tobin, has been working with us on this. And but the first thing that will happen is that we'll contact all of the members of BCNSW who are not already members of BCA, and we will welcome them across into BCA. There will be an opt-out opportunity if people want to take it, but we hope that no one takes it, that everyone moves across. So that will be the first thing that will occur. And in my thinking, the next thing that will occur is that we'll move the staff so that they're formally employed by BCA rather than BCNSW, and we'll move the rental agreements for the office, and we have some sub-tenants there of other similar disability organisations, Deaf Blind Association and Tactile TERPS, which is a tactile interpreting service. We'll move those across to BCA. And if we can, I'd like to do that by the end of this year, but we'll just have to see what forms we have to lodge with the Department of Fair Trading to carry this through. Once we've done that, the expressions of interest have already been sought for the BCA State Division Committee. That will be appointed by the BCA board next weekend at its meeting. And so it will have a planning day, which I think is scheduled at this stage for the 17th of February. And then over the next month or two, there'll be a gradual winding up of all of the assets. We've got a funding agreement to transfer from the state government, which goes to BCNSW. We'll need to move that across to BCA. And we'll need to ensure that any donations and bequests are dealt with both now and into the future. And then we'll officially wind up BCNSW in the first few months of next year.
I just want to pick up on the point that Graham made about moving the staff across, because from a BCA point of view, we see that as extremely important in terms of providing security to the people involved. It's never easy when organisations amalgamate for the staff concerned. And while Crystal, as the executive officer, has been a participant in BCA's staff meetings and other interactions over the last 12 months, we see it as very important that we give her and the membership that demonstration of our commitment to this as soon as it is practical. But, of course, as Graham says, some of this is out of our hands because under the structure of Blind Citizens New South Wales, there's a responsibility to get clearance from the Department of Fair Trading in New South Wales to do that. So it's important that we start those processes as soon as possible.
So is there anything now that could stand in the way of the merger, or is it a foregone conclusion at this point?
Well, the merger is formally in place now, Vaughan. Both organisations have asked their members to support this through a resolution, firstly at the Annual General Meeting of Blind Citizens Australia back in October, and then through the resolution that was passed yesterday, in terms of the will of the members, the amalgamation has now been approved by both groups of members. So we're down to the process issues, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I can't see any reason that the department wouldn't approve the merger. We've taken all the legal steps that we were advised that we would need to take, but there does have to be formal approval.
Blind Citizens New South Wales has been around for a very long time, providing advocacy and support to blind and vision impaired people in Sydney, but also in the entire state. How many members are there?
There's about 135 to 140 members across New South Wales and the ACT, Vaughan. And I would suggest, I haven't actually done a count, but I would suggest that maybe 90 to 100 of those are also members of BCA. So there's a lot of crossover between the two organisations. And I think this is the start of something bigger and stronger. Between the two organisations, we have 150 years of advocacy experience, and I see it as the start of something better for the representation of people who are blind or vision impaired in New South Wales and the ACT. And because New South Wales is the biggest state and a third of Australia in population, inevitably those benefits flow on to other states as well. So I just think that people who are blind or vision impaired throughout Australia win from this process.
I think that one of the important things to say here is that, of course, this merger or this amalgamation is actually for the benefit, in the primary sense, of people right across New South Wales as well. There is some sense among the community that our organisations are Sydney-focused within New South Wales. And from a Blind Citizens Australia point of view, I want to assure everyone that this is to provide opportunities for our membership right across the state. And in fact, Graeme mentioned before that we're looking at membership of the first state division committee. And I can assure you that the board's consideration of that will be, among other things, to ensure that we have representation from both the Sydney area and well beyond that in terms of putting that membership together.
And the other real demonstration of that, John, is that early next year there are workshops being run in New South Wales to deal with issues around the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and they are going all over the state. And I'm sure Sally Orish will be on your program soon to talk about those, Vaughan, but they're going to places like Tweed Heads and Mudgee and Coffs Harbour and Newcastle. And so there are certainly workshops in Sydney, but they're very clearly New South Wales-based, not just Sydney-based.
Mm. John Simpson, Graeme Innes, thanks very much for joining us, and good luck with the continuation of the merger.
Thank you, Vaughan. We'll keep you well in touch with it.
Certainly will. Great to talk with you, Vaughan.
Graeme Innes there, Blind Citizens New South Wales President, and John Simpson, President of Blind Citizens Australia. That's it for this program, but just before we go, I do want to let you know that the CEO of Blind Citizens Australia, Emma Bennison, published an article recently in social media. We're hoping it'll be taken up by the mainstream press. On Sunday the 3rd of December, International Day of People with a Disability, while Emma was travelling home from Sydney, she was forgotten by airline Meet and Assist staff. She was left in the Virgin Lounge and missed her flight, ended up returning to Hobart at least 4 hours late. This is a disgraceful situation, particularly in 2017, and it's somewhat embarrassing for Virgin Australia that it happened on International Day of People with a Disability. We'll cover this in more detail in future programs, but I did want to let you know, have a look at the Blind Citizens Australia website if you'd like to read that article, and also you can have a look on the BCA Facebook page as well. I'm Vaughan Bennis, and thanks for joining me on this week's program. I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams, of our dreams.